Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Wednesday, June 27th, 2018. With me today, Kelly Gumont. How's it going?
Not bad, Jeff. How about you?
I'm doing well. John Martellaro, I'm glad you're here. How are you?
Good. Nice to be here. Hi, Jeff. Hi, Kelly.
Hi, John.
See, I feel like it's a little family reunion happening right here. And I am going to remind everyone, I'm speaking at WordCamp Denver. WordCamp Denver's July 28th and 29th, and I'll be talking about WordPress and podcasting. So come and hear me talk. The WordCamp is always inexpensive. It's always a lot of fun. It's a wonderful community, and I would love to hang out with all of you at WordCamp. So show up. It'll be great. There'll be a link in the show notes. July 28th and 29th in Denver. Come hang out. And how about if we just jump right in to the heavy topic?
Okay.
So domestic abusers taking advantage of smart home devices to abuse and gaslight their victims. So
remotely. That's the bonus to all of this, yeah, is bonus. They don't even have to be in the same house.
Yeah. So here's what's triggering this. I saw a report an article at New York Times, and it's about how domestic abuse victims are reporting to the police when they're seeking help or reporting to other services that are out there to help them, that in addition to the physical abuse that they may be subjected to and the other psychological abuse that they may be subjected to, that their abusers are taking advantage of smart home devices. So doing things like turn the lights on at 3 a.m, you turn the air conditioner on so your place can cool down. They turn it back off. They change the combination to the smart lock on your door so you can't get into your own place. They use your smart home cameras to monitor your activity and listen in on what you're doing. Just all different kinds of things. And when I was reading this, I'm like, holy crap. I've been looking at these devices from the perspective of how they can add convenience and security to our lives. And yet, if a domestic abuser, someone that is abusive, will find anything that's positive and figure out how to weaponize it. And it looks like that's exactly what's happening here. And so I wanted to kind of explore this a little bit with you guys and see what you think.
Couple of things off the bat. It seems to me like this is one of the major architectural weaknesses of the current home automation technology. Two, it shows that everybody needs to be a stakeholder in the design and operation of the house so that they understand what's going on. And three, there needs to be a how-to guide. when your spouse moves out and you don't know how the TV or the home automation works, here's what you just start doing. Start ripping out this and ripping out that. And if you see any Waymo plugs, disconnect them and reset your Wi-Fi router and change the password.
and I love all these bits of advice. And the sad thing is, these are all things that if you are someone who is subjected to domestic abuse, you won't be able to do because you don't get to have that kind of control.
Right.
And having the ability, having the ability to do anything on your own, that's typically not an option. And part of the abusive cycle includes breaking down someone's self-esteem. And you take someone that would otherwise be totally capable of saying, hey, this is wrong. I'm just going to pull that plug out of the wall, or I'm going to take the smart lock out and put in a regular lock with a different key and screw you. You don't get to come in. Those are things you aren't capable of doing because you've been torn apart and you feel like you are worthless and you are incapable of doing anything without your abuser.
Well, now, wait a minute. I think that depends on the personality of the person who's being abused. There's different levels of abuse. And I think knowing the strong women I know, that if you tried to abuse them, they kick your ass and change the lock.
Yes, but that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking
but that's
about
not everybody.
That are abuse victims.
And even if it is, and there are strong women who end up as abuse victims because you care about someone and you don't want to believe that this is what they're doing to you. And there's a lot of denial that goes on down that road, and everybody's situation is different. And part of the reason that I think this is working is because of the way that society tends to work. Yes, I'm painting with a broad brush here, but far more women are abused in relationships than men are. That's how it is. And far more men are likely to go, yeah, a thermostat I can operate with my smartphone, or a lock I can operate with my smartphone is awesome. I'm going to do that. And so it gives, so when all of the tools end up in the hands of somebody who then decides that they can use those tools for evil, it's a bad scene. Mm-hmm. And so part of this, I think, part of this can be helped if more people are more aware. And this is a thing that has frustrated me about smart home tech for a long, long time, which is that it's either in my name or it's in Mr. Kelly's name. Mm-hmm. There's no way to tie something. Like, I really wanted family sharing on the iOS App Store to be the thing that helped get around this, but it doesn't. And so some stuff, like if I bought it and I was excited about it and I brought it home and set it up, then the account is under my email address and a password I chose. And something else, maybe even from the same company, might be set up under Mr. Kelly's email address and a password that he chose. And yes, password managers are a way to fix this, but it doesn't change the fact that, like, if I call in to get help with something, you know, there's a pretty good chance they're going to know that, you know, that that's not my name, mm-hmm. you know? And so it's, like, let's say Mr. Kelly's name is Jeff. Like, you know, I don't sound very much like a Jeff. So there's a certain amount of stakeholding that has to go into this for everybody, because it doesn't matter who you are. And if technology like this is set up in your house, you should have an idea of how it works. You should have an idea of the password, and you should hopefully have enough familiarity with the app that if something happens, you can get to it. And the reason for that is more benevolent. It's not because I think that the person with whom you cohabitate is going to start abusing you, but it's because, for example, if you are a mom who is home with kids and you roll up to the door and for whatever reason the door lock doesn't work, you need to have a little bit of troubleshooting in your toolkit to make sure that works. You know, there's nothing you can pull out of the bag where you keep everything for the kids that's gonna help that. So I feel like there's a little more awareness that needs to go on here, and I wonder if part of that, if going along with that would be companies that make it easier for someone to get out from under something like this if it's happening to them, and make it so that more than one person can have admin access to an account, yeah. or things like that.
That's what I was talking about, Kelly, with the architectural design of the system.
It's too
computer geeky right now.
Because this is a thing that has frustrated me about it forever, because I am a technologically proficient person, as is Mr. Kelly. And so when it's the two of us and we're trying to work this out, you know, like, I've told this story before. Why don't we have all the HomeKit stuff set up in our house? Because one of us had to set up a house and then invite the other person who lives there. And when we started doing it, there were only certain things that you could do if you had been invited, mm-hmm. because you didn't have equal access to everything that was set up under HomeKit. And it really made me mad. And that's when I start wondering, because this is a thing that I wonder all the time, if any of these people had any other living situation where they could have tried this out. Do any of the people who designed HomeKit at that time, when it first came out, did anyone on that HomeKit team live with another person who might be interested in also being able to turn stuff on and off with the S-Lady? Did anybody who set up an Ecobee thermostat or an August door lock or any of these other things, think about what happens if more than one person lives in the house and might need access to that system. Like, I live here just as I live in my house just as much as Mr. Kelly lives in my house. We both live here. We both have all the keys. We both have access to everything. Both our names are on the paperwork. So why would it be that I have unequal access or he has unequal access to something just because the other person set it up? And yeah, I have found this endlessly frustrating.
There are other more innocent situations besides abuse where this comes into play. For example, a spouse has to have surgery. And right. In the hospital for 7 days. Mm-hmm. And people who are left in the house are a little bit out of the loop.
Right. Or, what, you know, and like I said, what if something goes wrong and you're mm-hmm. the person home, but you're not the person on the account and you call for help? Like, yeah. You know, what happens when somebody calls Ring and it's not their Ring account and they're like, I need help. My doorbell's giving me difficulty. I don't feel safe in the house with the kids if I can't see who's coming to the door, you know, things like that. Like, there's a lot. It's one of the, before I saw that this could be weaponized, this was a small frustrating thing about HomeKit. And it was a thing that really bothered me when it came to setting stuff up. And it's one of the reasons that I don't recommend that most people, give a gift of something like this, or, you know, try to set somebody else up with home automation unless that person is reasonably technologically savvy. Like, that's the reason my mom still doesn't really have any home automation or Internet of Things stuff, is because I can't set it up for both her and her husband to be able to operate everything the same. And that's really frustrating to me.
Mm-hmm. And sadly, right now there isn't a good solution for the just a straight up, hey, we are trying to manage these devices together, or for the more ominous situation, hey, I'm in a domestic abuse situation and I need some help so that I can take control back, and those options aren't there, or for companies where they are there, it doesn't seem like they're very obvious.
And it's frustrating because this is like one of the examples in the article, which I read yesterday. One of the examples in the article was somebody who was having conversations they had in the house when no one else was there thrown in their face because somebody was able to listen because there was like a security camera inside or something, and they were mm-hmm. listening in on these conversations and then using that information against this person. And there comes a point when you say stuff like that, this person has no business knowing what I was talking about, and they knew what I was talking about, and you start sounding like maybe your problem is not abuse, maybe your problem is mental health. And part of the, and you know, the rest of that was a thing where they were talking about, like, you have to include smart home devices in restraining orders now. And there are places that, like, where it's not even possible to, like, include that in the restraining order because nobody knows that how that's supposed to work. There's no legislation around any of this stuff. And part of the reason that this is frustrating to me is because there are many, many ways that a lot of this could be made a lot better, and mm-hmm. and not all of them are technological, because a fair number of them are societal. And that's the part that really frustrates me, is that this wouldn't work if it weren't for other things that are in place to make this happen. And I'm not trying to turn this into an existential conversation, but this is a thing that has been really hard for me. I know and love people who have been victims of abuse and stuff like this. Really, really frustrates me, because it shouldn't be that easy to turn someone's life inside out.
And sadly,
and yet it is. And here we are.
Yeah.
Yeah. And now you don't even have to be home to do it.
Yes.
So you can act like, so an abuser can act like they're being the nice person, you know, they're taking the high, oh, well, if that's how you feel, I'm real sorry, I'll go stay with my friend, or I'll go, you know, stay with my parents, and, you know, I'll let you be in the house, and you could be by, and it's all fine. But they're still just monitoring everything, and using that information to continue to abuse and extend the cycle and make everything worse. And now this person is in this house, maybe alone, maybe just with kids, and starting to feel like they're losing their mind.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, suddenly, like, yeah, I'm having hot flashes in the middle of the night. It's because somebody's turning the heat up to 85 degrees. And, you know, no matter what I do, I can't seem to get the air conditioner off. And it's December. And, like,
Kelly, if I live... Kelly, it'd be nice if there were, like, a fix-up service for somebody who specialized, home automation specialist, who police would have a phone number and the police would say, okay, we got this report. What can we do? And consult with the client and then call his phone number and then come in and fix the place.
It makes me want to start a nonprofit. Like, if this is a thing that is happening to you, I will come pop out your Nest and I will install a new one. I've installed a number of thermostats in my life. I will come pop out your Nest and I will pop in one of those little 1960s dials with the red line on it for you for free. What you do with the Nest is up to you. If you want to take it in the yard and hit it with a bat because it'll make you feel better, awesome. I will help you reset your password on your router. I will help you change the networking so people can't get in. I will help you update the passwords on your devices. I would do this for free and donate my time in order to make it so that people don't have to worry about this kind of stuff anymore. But one of the things that you can do when those things come in, when those things come into your house, is be a person who asks a bunch of questions. We had this, like I said, we had this conversation in my house a lot. This is a thing I want to get. What does it do? How does it work? What does it make better? How's the security? What if we don't want to use it anymore?
How do we jointly operate it?
Right. And most of the time it's, we just have to share the password between the two accounts. And, you know, and we each sign in on the same account and, you know, figuring out how that looks and how that works. And sometimes one of us has the conversation and sometimes the other one of us has the conversation. And in every case, like, we have the same discussion. And then when it's here, the person who bought it, like, gets it all set up, walks through the app, makes sure they know how to work everything. And then, like, the other person sort of gets training on it, because in my house, that's none of it's secret, none of it's special. Like, honestly, I do most of the work to keep the network running, you know, as it is, and then every once in a while Mr. Kelly comes up with an idea for something else that we should add, or sometimes I do, and we figure it out, but we do it together. And not everybody has that opportunity, and some people just don't care. And, you know, whoever, you know, other person in the house, go ahead and set up an A lady and just tell me what I have to do. Like, there should be a lot more questions, like, what's the email address of the Prime account that it's hooked up to? And how do I this? And what if I want it to play music on my Prime playlist? And what if I that? And, you know,
a good point, Kelly. Every household needs to have a data book. Here's our services. Here's the phone numbers. Here's the accounts. Here's the email. Maybe it's an encrypted file on a thumb drive, but still, it's the data book for the household. I've heard about
that. I have one of those
manual for your home.
Yeah.
It's the manual for my house. I have it. Currently it's a Dropbox folder that's shared between Mr. Kelly and myself. Yeah. And it includes the manual for every device, login information device, the spreadsheet of the network map with all the MAC addresses of everything.
That's OCD there.
I'm hardcore because we used to do MAC address filtering and then we ran out of spots in the MAC address filtering. Oh, yeah. So I had to set up a different kind of network. That was about 2004. We ran out of MAC addresses, by the way. Yeah. So, like, this is just a matter of course at my house because I over document everything anyway. And it was a thing that I thought about a while ago. Like, what happens when we sell the house? How am I going to, like, the stuff that needs to stay, how am I going to transfer all of that over to some other person? And which is another thing that I think doesn't get thought through, you know, when we do this. So,
yeah. We're out of time. So we're going to have to wrap up.
Oh,
I know. I think this was an important topic because there's a lot of people that don't understand that there can be a dark side with the home automation devices that they're using. And there's a lot of people that don't realize how insidious domestic abuse is and how easy it is for someone that's good at this, meaning good at being an abuser, to manipulate someone who in any other situation would be really strong and really capable of handling themselves, and turn them into someone who becomes a victim and loses control. And that's a really dangerous place to be. So now hopefully more people are enlightened. And if you or you know someone that is in an abusive situation, find help. And there's no perfect answer for finding the help that someone needs, because each situation and each person is different. Maybe you need to go directly to the police. Maybe you need to find a friend that they can talk to. Maybe it's some sort of counselor. Maybe they need to go find a church or a community center or some other place that they can go and say, "Hey, look, I need help." But no one deserves to live like that. And of course, everyone also deserves to have control over their own thermostat and light. So, yeah, it's a bad situation, and yeah, it's just a bad situation. All right. Well,
Before we wrap up completely, I'm mm-hmm. just going to point out that I'm going to give everybody a tiny bit of homework after the show that we just did, and that is go to Google and type in unicorn chaser and enjoy the results. Hold because on. You will probably need a little palate cleanser after this to improve your day, and the unicorn chaser is a very good way to do that.
Yeah, actually, yeah. All right, everyone go check out Unicorn Chaser. All right, Kelly, thank you for being here today.
Thank you for having me.
John, thank you for being here as well.
Nice to be here. Bye, Kelly.
Bye, John.
And listeners, thank you for joining us. It's always great to have you here. And we'll see everyone again tomorrow.